Our goal this morning is to prepare for the Lord's table. I've titled this Thanksgiving Sunday. We're going to think deeply about the subject of giving thanks and thanksgiving as we march into that glorious season of the year, my favorite time of the year, to be honest. And next week we'll return to our study of 1 Peter chapter 1, but just for one Sunday, and I try to do this once a year, I try to concentrate on the subject of being thankful or thanksgiving, for it's such a biblical thesis. And I want to begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Please turn there with me. Chapter 5, actually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. If you would please look at this with me in your Bible. Let's begin this morning in a very well-worn path for genuine Christians, but then I'll take you into some more perhaps obscure places in the Bible that speaks about this subject of thanksgiving. Let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Please. And I fully realize as the pastor this morning, I fully realize as a man who is sinful, living in a sinful world, that there are many, many things perhaps that you have brought with you into the church that you are not thankful for, things that are frustrating, things that are difficult, things that make you throw your hands in the air, things that make you perhaps pound your fist against the palm of your hand, and perhaps many things. And I understand that, and I grasp that, and I'm with you. And there are many things that we struggle with in the world because of sin, the fallen nature of the world. My goal this morning is to draw us back to this biblical concept that we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's begin there, if you have your Bible, and if not, just listen. In everything, God says to us, in everything, give thanks. Look at, if you have your Bible, just notice that with me. The Bible does not say, in some things, give thanks. It says, in everything, give thanks. The Bible does not say, when things are pleasing to you, give thanks. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. The Bible does not say, when you're rich and healthy and beautiful and handsome, like most of you today, give thanks. No, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Let's begin there. And I want you to notice with me, in the original language, there's a prepositional phrase that stands out there. And the English Bible captures this as well, in everything. In everything. And for so many people this morning, in and out of the church, thanksgiving is confined to getting what I ask for, then we are thankful. Getting what I perceive I deserve, I'm thankful. Giving thanks for so many people is incumbent on being prosperous or trouble-free or successful. And I think very few grasp, I've noticed this through the years, few grasp this principle in everything. Because few understand the underlying premise of Scripture, the Bible, which is the sovereignty of God. Let me go further with you this morning. The mature Christian, the mature believer, gives thanks in everything. The good, the bad, the health, the sickness, the riches, the poverty, the criticism, the compliment. Because the mature believer knows that God is truly in control of my life. And God is truly, honestly, working all things together for good for me, the believer, and for the glory of God. And so the Bible says we give thanks in everything because we know God is actively involved in everything, every facet of my life. You cannot understand that. You cannot grasp that with human eyes. You need the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind and say amen to this principle that God is in control, God is sovereign, God is working all things together for good and for the glory of God. And sin is real. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin, everywhere we see it. The curse of sin, it's everywhere. Sin has to run its full course until redemption is complete and the Lord comes back to rule in righteousness. But God is working all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so we give thanks in everything. And I know that we live in a thankless world. We live in a thankless culture. Many people in churches are thankless this morning. And if you've come this morning for whatever reason and you're struggling with this attitude of thanksgiving, won't you allow the Holy Spirit to draw you back into this biblical premise? For the believer, we live a life of being thankful in everything because God is involved in everything to bring about me being conformed to the image of the Son. For you to be conformed to the image of the Son. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you have your Bible, look at the very next clause. This is God's will for you. Do you see that? If you knew how many people come and specifically make an appointment to talk about the will of God, what's the will of God in my life related to where I live and where I work and who I marry and where I invest and how I spend my money and what car to buy and what house to buy? Teach me about the will of God. Give me guidance on the will of God. Are you thankful in everything? Well, you're in the will of God. Are you desiring to live a holy life? You're in the will of God. Is the Word dwelling in you richly? You're in the will of God. Are you giving thanks? You're in the will of God. The Bible says that explicitly. And if you're here today and you're not thankful in everything, grumbling, complaining, upset, vitriolic, angry, you're out of the will of God this morning. And it doesn't matter how many sermons you preach, it doesn't matter how many kids you teach, it doesn't matter how much money you give, it doesn't matter how many turkeys you bring to the church. I digress. Thank you for everyone who brought a turkey this morning. That's the... You know there's a God when there's Thanksgiving food. This is a glorious day to have the Word of God, spiritual food, physical food, and then to take a nap. That's just lovely. And praise God for that. And if you're here today and for whatever reason you're out of this concept of being thankful, let the Holy Spirit bring you back. Be thankful this morning. Let's go further. I want to show you this in yet another place. Psalm 136 verse 1. And you don't have to turn there. I just have the first verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let's talk about it. And just for a brief amount of time, let's go further now related to this subject of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You have two reasons in Psalm 136 to be thankful today. God's constant goodness and His steadfast love. The reason we can be thankful in everything, every circumstance, every detail, every hurt, every heartache, is God is good and He is love. He is always good. He is always love. That doesn't change because of your circumstances. That doesn't change because the curse of sin is rearing its head all around you. God is good. God is love. We give thanks in everything because of God's character, His nature. And I promise That makes sense to everyone here who says with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:24, "Wretched man that I am." In our lifetimes, we've tried to replace the total depravity of man with the inherent goodness of man. May it never be. Paul is right when he said, "Wretched man that I am." This is probably the most holy man, the most godly man, the man closest to Jesus Christ who ever lived, and yet he said, "Wretched man that I am." We have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We have not loved God with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. I stand as the chief of sinners. The worst sinner is the one preaching to you today. I say with Paul, "Wretched man that I am." To be a believer, to be a Christian, is to grasp that I have not kept God's perfect standard. I have failed in keeping that standard. And the Bible is a book that reminds me, even if I keep the whole law but stumble one time in one area, I am guilty of all of it. And so it's been said, in frustration and grief, Paul laments over his own sin. A believer perceives his own sin in direct proportion to how clearly he sees the holiness of God and the perfection of God's law. And at the end of Romans 7, you know that passage so well, Paul comes back and he says, "Thanks be to God! Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. If everyone here today says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift of sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise from the grave," we have had a glorious day that honors and glorifies God. Psalm 30, if you have your Bible. Just a moment or two more. Psalm 30. Turn there with me. Psalm 30, as we prepare for the Lord's table and consider this subject of thanksgiving. Psalm 30 is a wonderful place to be. I'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll just look at the first couple verses briefly. Psalm 30, beginning in verse 1, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up. You have brought my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name." Look at verse 5. "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Look at that with me, verse 5. In a group this size, some of you are in the place of the night of weeping, perhaps. And it's a difficult time, it's a difficult day, it's a difficult season. Perhaps for many people here, maybe more than we care to admit, you're in the first part of verse 5, your weeping is in the night. But there's a promise here, there's a shout of joy that comes in the morning. In verse 12, look at it with me. "O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." And this is all based on the character of God. This is the theme of thanksgiving. It is the good character of God. Verse 12, "O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." If you're here today and you're in that place of weeping and difficulty and sorrow, let the Holy Spirit bring you back to the character of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, realizing that sin runs its course for a season in our lives, difficulty, pain, suffering, but joy will come in the morning. Christian, joy will come in the morning. And I just have one more thought in conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as we continue to develop the subject of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, This is definitely off the path of this subject, but it's so rich. Beginning in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Now, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. Not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. Verse 14, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Look at verse 13 with me. Perhaps you're in the place of verse 13 this morning, and you have no rest in your spirit for whatever reasons I don't know. You have no rest in your spirit this morning, perhaps, for maybe 100 different reasons I'm not aware of. And don't be ashamed of that, for Paul was there. Don't be ashamed of that place of uncertainty and consternation. Don't be ashamed of that place of throwing your hands in the air and a place where there's no rest. Paul says that. I had no rest for my spirit. Paul was there. In this context, he's concerned about the church. His first love was the church, the people who made up the church. There were so many problems in the Corinthian church. They were not responding to their leaders. There was open sin and immorality. They were following false teachers. They were being influenced by false doctrine, practicing false doctrine in the church itself. Paul's discouraged. They're not listening to his apostolic authority, his correction in this context. It was so bad, Paul refused to go through this open ministry door that the Lord gave him. That's how bad it was. He said, I had no rest in my spirit. I couldn't even find my friend who would encourage me, Titus. I couldn't find him. I was miserable. Maybe you're there today. You come into the church this morning and everyone seems so happy and godly and restful and peaceful, filled with the Spirit. And maybe you're saying, now I get it for the first time. I'm like Paul, I don't have any rest in my spirit this morning. This is such a glorious passage. Look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. This is a man of faith. Praise God. This is a man of faith. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. It's been well said, Paul made an abrupt transition from his narrative in the context. He looked above and beyond his troubles to praise and thanksgiving to God by turning from the difficulty of ministry, focusing on the privileges of his position in Christ, Paul regained his joyful and thankful perspective. Isn't that wonderful? If you're struggling with the subject of thanksgiving, professing believer this morning, listen to wise words. Turn your focus away from the context of self and life and sin and put your focus on who God is and your position as a justified believer by grace. Paul regained his joyful and thankful perspective by doing that. It's so easy to focus on self and the struggles of life and lose the reality of who God is. God does not change based on our difficult circumstances. Praise God. And then the final, very final thing I promise is James 1. We close in James 1. And then we'll take the Lord's table together. James chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. If you're past 1 Peter, you got to go back to the left. James chapter 1, verse 17. We close here. Let's read James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. I think this will make a lot of sense. Every good thing given. I'm in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It's very easy to forget in our Protestant work ethic. in our discipline, in our training, in our wise spending, in our budgeting. It's very easy to forget that every good thing that we have been given, all of the gifts we have been given, what are the gifts we've been given? All the lesser gifts, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, our hobbies, our all of these creature comforts, our material possessions, dare we say, everything that we have been given, Christian, ultimately is a gift, praise God, from above. And someone would argue, but there are all kinds of people who hate your God, who hate your Christ, who hate you for preaching this garbage, and they have gifts more than you do. Well, that's an example of God's common grace. That's common grace given to all. Love and children and food and clothing and shelter and making a living and being prosperous for some. Common grace, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But ultimately, Christian, James is reminding you, Christian, every good thing that you have, every car, every home, every material possession that makes your life better, every creature comfort, every microwave that warms up the turkey that's left over, that is a gift from God. Praise God. And you hear me use this phrase so often. In logic, this is such an important concept. Writers in the Bible and outside the Bible, good speakers, always travel this road of moving from the lesser to the greater. And you hear me say that just about every week. If you've ever wondered what in the world I'm talking about, there is no greater example in the Bible of moving from the lesser to the greater than James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Homes, food, clothing, shelter, cars, creature comforts. These are gifts from God. You didn't earn them, you don't deserve them. God has given them to you in His grace. These are the lesser gifts in this context. But will you move on with me to the greater gift? Look at verse 18. And so often, if you do the Thanksgiving around the table, that people want to stop with the lesser gifts. I'm thankful for my new 2023 Ford F-150, which costs more than I make in about 3 years. I don't have that, but someone will be thankful for that. And they'll stop there. And I'm thinking, that's a lesser gift, and okay, it's good to be thankful. Will you move on with me to the greater gift, and we'll close? If you're struggling today with the subject of Thanksgiving, will you look at verse 18 with me? This is the greater gift, beloved. In the exercise of God's will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. This is glorious. This is glorious. James is moving from the lesser to the greater. Don't ever stop at verse 17, believer. Move on to verse 18 when it comes to the subject of thanksgiving. Brought us forth is the technical language for regeneration by the Holy Spirit. God breathing life into one that was spiritually dead, so they can hear, so they can believe. Salvation is all of God's will by God's Spirit via God's Word to bring about a resurrection so one who is spiritually dead becomes spiritually alive. This is what God does. And this is the supreme reason why I'm thankful today. In addition to verse 17, so many gifts that I don't deserve. Food, clothing, shelter, transportation. Bills paid. I was reading this week about the in the world they were trying to break down the socioeconomic status of of all of the people living. And to summarize, every one of us here today, without exception, compared to the billions of people in the world, everyone in this room, we are wealthy. We are wealthy on a human, materialistic standard. Compared to the billions who live in the world, most live in abject poverty. And we're grateful this Thanksgiving season for all of these gifts that we have. We don't deserve them. We don't earn them. God has given to them. God has given them to us by His mercy. But verse 18 is the supreme reason, Christian, to be thankful. In the exercise of God's will, He brought me forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a first fruits among His creation. James is saying, when you grasp this, when you're thankful for your regeneration, for the new birth, you become a fragrance, you become an aroma, you become an evangelistic fragrance to the world that you don't even realize. Your scent goes out there and people can understand that you're different and you are thankful for what God has done for you. And without even trying, you become an evangelistic machine. You become a fragrance, an aroma, a first fruits among His creation, His new creation. What a glorious subject. I was reading this week and I came across this old thought from days of old. When we are thankful, our focus moves off selfish desires and off the pain of current circumstances. Expressing thankfulness helps us to remember God is in control. Thankfulness then is not only appropriate, it is actually healthy and beneficial to us. It reminds us of the bigger picture that we belong to God and that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray the word would fall in good soil today through the foolishness of preaching. People would grasp the important premise, the thesis of being thankful is synonymous with being in your will. And I pray that for this body, God, that this very day we would be thankful Christians for the lesser gifts and for the greatest gift, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together.